내 아래에 있는
Deha of this body, Dehi, and the proprietor of the body, Ibagaha, the division, I am this, Aviveka, from ignorance, Kritaha, made, Pura, from time immemorial. Jati, of the class or caste. Vyakti, and the individual. Vibhagaha, division. I am this. Yata, just as. Vastuni, in the original subject. Original object, sorry. In the original object. Kalpitaha, imagined. So translation, divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality, are the imaginations of persons who are not advanced in knowledge. So you can repeat. Divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality, are the imaginations of persons who are not advanced in knowledge. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, there are two energies, material and spiritual. Both of them are ever-existing because they are emanations from the eternal truth, the Supreme Lord. Because the individual soul, the individual living entity, has desired to act in forgetfulness of his original identity, since time immemorial, his accepting different positions in material bodies and being designated according to many divisions of nationality, community, society, species, and so on. So, deha dehi vibhago yam aviveka krita pura jativyapti vibhago yam yathavastuni kalpitaha. So, Om Gana Timidanda Sha, Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam, Yena Tasmai Shigurveya Maha. So, in spite of the material energy and the spiritual energy of being ever existing and eternal, the material energy continually changes in its manifestation, just like they say, because of the time factor, actually. Just like they say, you cannot step into the same river twice. Therefore, because we are in Maya or illusion, we're accepting something called upadis based upon just the temporary manifestation of the material energy. Upadi means designation, as mentioned here, nationality, individuality, and also into the general headings of generalizations and specifications. That, you know, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm a dog, I'm a human being, or whatever like that. So these are upadis, and of course we know that the acharyas teach us sarvupadi vinir muktam tatpat prena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate, that one should understand we're supposed to serve rishikesha. Rishikena sevanam. So we serve rishikesha. Then we can overcome the upadis. That's interesting. One has to be freed from the upadis. So one thing, interesting thing about upadis, we need to become aware of them too and use them in ordinary life. This is brought out in the Jiva Dharma. There's actually two fancy words in this regard. One is vyavaharika and the other one is paramarthika. You remember these words from the Jiva Dharma. Vyavaharika means like in the ordinary discourse, you know, that obviously we do have to become aware of. Like if someone asked me, are you an American? And let's say I was at a government office the other day, you know, applying for some assistance, and they said, you know, are you a U.S. citizen? So if I were to reply to them and say, I'm a spirit soul, I come from the spiritual world. I'm not a U.S. citizen. What is this nonsense? Then I wouldn't have gotten the help I needed. What?
Or a different type of help.
Or a different type of help, yeah. Yeah, they would have said, well, we have... They would have pushed the button and the men in the white coats would have come to take me away at that point. So we have to be aware of what's called a Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika means the ordinary designations, because we're working in this world. I mean, obviously, just like in the temple, in the original temples, we used to have a male ashram, you know, Brahmacharya ashram, and a Brahmacharini ashram. It's not that the Brahmacharis would say, you know, these are all just nonsense designations, you know, I'm going to move into the Brahmacharini ashram today. Can you imagine that? Of course, nowadays, you know, you have four different ashrams. Anyway, I'm not going to get into those details. You know, people are, anyway, won't say. So you really have to be aware of this Vyavaharika stuff in order to function properly in this world. It's not that we just throw it. You know, I've seen many fanatic new devotees just like throw it out and just bewilder their parents and bewilder, you know, whatever government official they're working. I mean, of course, sometimes I did it deliberately. I remember when I used to go on Sankirtan and I went to the mall and the policeman would ask me, you know, do you have permission from the owner? And I would say, yes, meaning Krishna. So they would take me to see the owner. And the actual, you know, Vyavaharika owner of the mall. And he would say, I didn't give you permission. I said, but you're not the owner. Krishna's the owner. And I ended up in jail one time. Of course, they let me out very quickly because I was taking the tin cup and banging against the bars and chanting Hare Krishna so loud, all the other prisoners demanded I be released immediately. But that's a young, fanatic devotee. So we have to be able to function in both worlds, basically speaking. Be like a lotus leaf that has a waxy covering that somehow or other it doesn't get immersed. It doesn't get soaked in the water when you put it into the water. We have to be in the water, but not of the water simultaneously. So Vyavaharika means the ordinary understanding, you know, the designations. And Paramantika means transcendental. What is a transcendental designation? Jivera Samarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das, Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhutta Sanatana, Manashashtani Indriyani, Prakriti Stani Karshati. We are part and parcel of Krishna. I mean, this is eternal designation. Ajo nitya shashvato yam purana nahanyate hanyamane sarire. But we have to be able to shift gears continually. So that's Vyavaharika Paramartika. Remember those words. You can use them in class to impress people. So, then, one thing I want to talk about was how the religions also, nowadays, they're actually Vyavaharika, you know, based upon just the ordinary, let's say, designations, rather than what we call Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is actually Paramartika, which means, when Prabhupada was asked, are you Hindu or whatever, what are you? Prabhupada said, we teach Sanatana Dharma. It's a science. Like, science is not sectarian. It's eternal. It's Dharma. Dharma means the inherent quality of a thing. Although the word Dharma has been misunderstood nowadays, especially in India, to indicate, you know, your duty. You know, what's your duty? Taking care of my family. What's your duty? I'm working for IBM. You know, that's my Dharma. So this is not Dharma. Dharma means basically the inseparable quality of a particular thing. So the inseparable quality of the Jiva soul is Jivera Sarupa Nitya Krishna Das. That's the Dharma of the Jiva. And so we are teaching Sanatana Dharma. And although we're teaching Sanatana Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, we should appreciate how other religions are worshiping the same personality of Godhead, of course, with different rituals. I mean, also within what we're practicing in Krishna consciousness, certain things are not Sanatana, like, you know, like dhotis or something like that. This is not, we have to be able to distinguish the things that are cultural or adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance, and those things which are eternal, which is it takes a lot of intelligence. Sometimes we get attached to like the temporary things, and then we become sectarian. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we criticize other religions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said we should appreciate them worshiping the same God. They're just doing a little bit different. A little symbolism is a little bit different than what we're utilizing. So we don't want to get into this whole sectarian thing, you know, converting people. Just like in India recently, there's this whole uproar. Some of you have been reading the news. Like I'm a CNN devotee. So, not CNN, actually Indian news devotee. There's this whole uproar how these different Hindu parishad, they're converting people forcefully, you know, converting whole villages back to Hinduism, which is also a sectarian religion, from Christianity and the Muslim religion. And they're using some of the same techniques the Muslims and Christians use to convert people, you know, by offering people things. Well, if you do this, you get, you know, education, you get money. And even one thing they're offering people, which is quite interesting, is that if you convert back to Hinduism, you can decide your own caste. You know, that's pretty good, you know. I definitely convert to Hinduism if I can. I said, all right, you Muslims and Christians, all right, pick your caste. Of course, everyone's going to pick Brahmin or something like that. So there's so much into this sectarian stuff. You know, the Muslims came, of course, and they were into sectarian stuff. They threatened people that unless you become a Muslim, or they threw water on from their water pot on someone, you're a Muslim now. Or they fed someone untouchable things, you know, food. Or they burned the Hindus' temples down, and the Christians also did the same thing. So all this sectarian business. But there are going to be different religions, because that's Vyavaharika, because religions, should present Sanatana Dharma, but according to time, place, and circumstance. Actually, I'm leading up to Christmas discussion, so, which I prepared for. So, for example, Christianity, the original Christianity that Jesus Christ presented, it was necessary for him to present things in a little different way because he was preaching to different types of people. Like it's described, Desha Kalapatra. Religion is always preached according to time, place, and circumstance. So in that regard, I'd like to read an excerpt that I brought, I prepared for class, from the Bhavishya Purana that talks about Jesus Christ and his mission on the earth, which is really, Bhavishya means what will be, you know, it's a future, predicting the future, especially in Kali Yuga. Very, very interesting quote. So I'm just going to read the English. Ruling over the Aryans was a king called Salivahana. Saliva. The grandson of Vikramaditya, who occupied the throne of his father. He defeated the Shakas, who were very difficult to subdue, the Chinnas, the people from Tiri, and Bahikos, who could assume any form at will. He also defeated the people from Rome and the descendants of Kuru, who were deceitful and wicked. He punished them severely and took their wealth. Salivahana thus established the boundaries dividing the separate countries of the Malechas and the Aryans. So, of course, Malechas means basically those who don't follow the rules of Aryan culture. In other words, they're eating meat, they're not clean. Malecha means basically unclean. In this way, Sindhustan came to be known as the greatest country. That personality appointed the abode of the Malechas beyond the Sindhu River. This is not proper English, but he said that the abode of the Malechas was beyond the Sindhu River and to the west. Once upon a time, the Sudhurs, the Sakas, went toward Himatunga, and in the middle of the Huna country, this is like in western Tibet, the powerful king saw an auspicious man who was living on a mountain. The man's complexion was golden and his clothes were white. Interesting. The king asked, "Who are you, sir?" "You should know that I am Ishaputra, the son of God," he replied blissfully, "and I am born of a virgin." It's interesting, isn't it? I am the expounder of the religion of the Mleches, and I strictly adhere to the absolute truth. Hearing this, the king inquired, what are the religious principles according to your opinion? Hearing the questions of Salavahara, Ishaputra said, and that's Lord Jesus Christ, O king, when the destruction of the truth occurred, I, Mahisha, the prophet, came to this country of degraded people where there were no rules and regulations, finding that fearful, irreligious condition of the barbarians spreading from Mleche Desh, I have taken to prophethood. Please hear, O king, which religious principles I have established amongst the Mleches. The living entity is subject to good and bad contaminations. The mind should be purified by taking recourse of proper conduct and performance of japa. By chanting the holy names, one attains the highest purity. Just as the immovable sun attracts all from all directions, the elements of all living beings, the Lord of the solar region, who is fixed and all attractive, attracts the hearts of the living creatures. Thus following rules, speaking truthful words, by mental harmony and by meditation, O descendant of Manu, one should worship that immovable Lord. Having placed the eternally pure and auspicious form of the Supreme Lord in my heart, O protector of the earth planet, I preach these principles throughout the Mleche's own faith, and thus my name became Isha Mahisha, Masiha. That means Jesus the Messiah. When you actually translate it into English or Hebrew or whatever. After hearing these words and paying obeisances to that person who is worshipped by the wicked, the king humbly requested him to stay there in the dreadful land of the Mleches. And then the final text is, King Salivahara, after leaving his kingdom, performed an Ashvamedha Yajna, and after ruling for 60 years, went to heaven. Now please hear what happened when the king went to Swargaloka. Thus ends the second chapter entitled The Age of Salivahara, the story of Kali Yuga of the Chatur Yuga Kanda, also called the Pratisarga Parva of the wonderful Bhavishya Mahapurana. So that's the prediction of Lord Jesus Christ appearing. In other words, he's preaching according to time, place, and circumstance, and he was preaching to the Mleches. So in other words, he had to preach something called Upadharma. Upadharma means like sub-religious principles. Ultimately, he did preach the pure religion. You should think of the Lord, you know, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, you know, 24 hours a day, which is the same thing that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam vashasi. Sacham te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, etc. So ultimately he preached that. You know, remember the Lord 24 hours a day, chant the Lord's holy names, glorify the Lord. Although people have turned it into a rather sectarian affair. And one of the methods that they, one of the ways they turn into a sectarian affair is they take in the position that the person who is the prophet, you know, is God. And how did that happen? Here's a little more history for you, which I found interesting. This is actually from a book called When Jesus Became God. Some of you may have read this book. It's a very interesting book. So the point is that Lord Jesus was executed. Prabhupada actually said, and I have some quotes from Prabhupada, that Jesus is our spiritual master because he was teaching pure Krishna consciousness. So Jesus was executed for many different charges, you know, for being the Messiah, but he wasn't executed for saying he was God. And he never said he was God. And it's all, this is also very important when understanding an acharya, even like Srila Prabhupada. You have to take it Srila Prabhupada according to what he says he is. I mean, at one particular point, we even had devotees saying that Prabhupada was God. There were four sannyasis, and they can't, you know, so it even happened in our movement that they were saying that Prabhupada was God. And Prabhupada had to kick those sannyasis. Fortunately, Prabhupada was still on the planet, and Prabhupada had to kick those sannyasis out of the Hare Krishna movement. And eventually those sannyasis realized, you know, Prabhupada wasn't God, they were preaching Mayavad philosophy. So anyway, so Jesus Christ, had he actually said that he was God, he probably would have been executed a lot sooner. He did say he was the Messiah. So in the beginning of the Christian movement, it was actually the Jesus movement, which was part of the Jewish religion. But they had trouble preaching the Jews, so there was one personality named Paul, who was also known as Saul, in Damascus, and he brought in what was called the Gentiles. Gentiles means the non-Jewish people. And the movement then, the Christian movement, became a movement of former pagans. You know, pagans means, you know, basically like the Roman Greek gods. They would worship all these different people like Zeus, you know, demigod worship, basically. And these demigods, the understanding of the demigods actually ultimately came from India. And they had all these pagan rituals. Like, the reason Christmas is celebrated at this time of year, it's the winter solstice. That was the pagan ritual. It's not that Jesus Christ actually appeared on this particular day. You know, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem on this day, because they wanted to sort of like, let's say, Christianize the pagan days or pagan celebrations. I mean, somehow or other, even we're Christianized. We're Christianizing Christmas today, and I saw, isn't it? And we even do that with our Christmas marathon and everything like that. You know, we do adapt certain aspects of the culture in presenting religion. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. Sometimes that's necessary. It's like a bridge to bring people to a particular religion. So anyway, so that's why Christmas is celebrated at a certain time, or Easter is celebrated at a certain time. That's the equinox, you know, when Easter is celebrated. And now we're at the solstice, the winter solstice, which is actually part of, and then, you know, the Easter eggs are actually, it was a pagan symbol, the tree, everything else, and Santa Claus. You know, there's a whole history about that, which I'm not going to get into right now, which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never talked about Santa Claus. You don't find anywhere in the Bible, Jesus, you know, that Jesus Christ once said, one day there will be a Santa Claus, and he'll give gifts to everybody on Christmas. I mean, this is, the whole thing has become completely commercialized, and has nothing to do with religion anymore. But let's talk about this whole thing. So Christianity sort of became mixed with different pagan stuff, you know, like the Christmas tree and all those other things, and eggnog and whatever. And so there was a need, because it was sort of a mixed pagan thing. There was a need to compete with the pagan religion, and in the pagan religion, they needed. To compete properly, they needed someone who was God. You know, because the pagans, they actually, not only did they have their demigods, but usually the leaders of the pagan religion, even there's a Roman leader, Caligula, who even told people he was God. I mean, so this was very common in those days. The leaders of different religions, you know, Mayavad Philosophy 101, for dummies. So there were leaders of different religions, or even political leaders, were declaring they were God. So in order to compete, you actually needed God. You know, you needed God as the head of your religion, or the primary prophet. And so also you needed another thing. You needed some aspect of polytheism. And so therefore they brought in Jesus as God and also the Trinity. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So, you know, so you had sort of a polytheistic understanding, as well as, this is history. I mean, this is not just my speculation. I've studied quite a bit of this. And so, you know, this is part of marketing religion, you know. Krishna Middle East. Instead of Krishna West. Krishna Middle East pagan. So, just like we have some meditation in our Krishna West. And then they also, you know, just to scare the bejesus out of someone, forgive me for that expression, they invented eternal hell and all these other things, and original sin. This is also, of course, they took original sin from the story of Adam and Eve, where, you know, Eve made Adam eat the apple because the snake encouraged them, and then we're all suffering because, you know, some man followed the lady, or they followed the snake. You know, I'm not going to suffer because of someone else's sin, you know. If someone else decides to eat an apple they're not supposed to eat, That's their problem, ain't my problem. So then that was brought in, because you have to have something to scare people. We do the same thing, we have Yamaraj. You said, better follow the four regular principles, Prabhu, Yamaraj. I mean, Yamaraj actually exists. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur also hinted that in many cases the elaborate descriptions of the hells are there to encourage people or discourage people from being too materialistic. Isn't that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about that? Because that scares you. Oh, my God. If I hurt the devotees, I'm going to be put through the sugar cane press and just made into juice or something like that. Back and forth. Oh, my God, I better behave myself. So this is for less intelligent people to scare them. I'm not saying, the hell, there are hells. There is punishment. But really, the concentration or the elaboration on them is done to a large extent for our benefit or for the benefit of people who only function on the basis of fear. So they needed it. So they invented eternal hell, which Jesus Christ never talked about, and original sin. And some of the early Christians, they wanted to go back to what Christianity really was, and that was a person called Arius, who was the founder of something called Arianism. And he wanted to go back to the original and base everything on the Old Testament, at least the original Old Testament before things started to change. And the Christian world became divided at that particular time. We want to go back to the original Christianity. Even today, you have people who talk about this, like Jehovah's Witnesses and others talk about how that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day. There's different groups like that. There's some division, although the common understanding is more or less to accept the pagan holidays. So, therefore, there was some violence, and especially this fight was headed up by someone called Athanasius, who's now called the saint in the Christian world. And Athanasius was so violent, he killed people, he torched churches that his followers torched the churches that didn't agree with him. Can you imagine that? Someone says, ISKCON, I guess we don't torch temples. But you have they have this whole thing like the Ritvik, people who send out their magazine every month, back to Prabhupada, and people go on the internet and they criticize and this and that. And there's so much anger because of the sectarian concepts, not really understanding what is Sanatan Dharma, what is eternal religion. So people really get into it. As I mentioned before, in India, they're really into it now. And of course, Modi, who is the prime minister, has been threatened by the rest of the Lok Sabha, that means the Congress there, basically we're going to stop anything you want to pass unless you stop this forceful conversion of people to Hinduism from Christianity and the Muslim religion. Anyway, it's a whole scene going on in India. So people really get into their sectarian religions. And then, so Athanasius won, and he was part of the group that decided what would go into the ultimate New Testament. And by the end of the 300s, 300 AD, it was a serious crime, punishable by death, to teach what Jesus actually originally taught. Can you imagine that? That's how religion becomes changed, this whole sectarian concept, not going back to the Sanatan Dharma. So, all right. So those are some of the facts about Christianity. And then I just wanted, in honor of Christmas Day, I wanted to read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada about Jesus Christ. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, the first point is they violate the commandment, thou shalt not kill, by maintaining slaughterhouses. Do you agree that this commandment is being violated? And Father Emmanuel says, personally, I agree. And Srila Prabhupada said, good. So if the Christians want to love God, they must stop killing animals. Father Emmanuel said, but isn't the most important point, and then Prabhupada sort of interrupts him at that point, if you miss one point, there's a mistake in your calculation. Regardless of what you add or subtract after that, the mistake is already there in the calculation, and everything that follows will also be faulty. That's a mathematical truth. Like if you can have all your calculations perfect, But if the original data is wrong, it's useless. We cannot simply accept that part of the scripture we like and reject what we don't like and still expect to get the results. For example, a hen lays eggs on its back with its back part and eats with its beak. A farmer may consider the front part of the hen is very expensive because I have to feed it. Better to cut it off. But if the head is missing, there will be no eggs anymore because the body is dead. What a great example. Similarly, if we reject the difficult part of the scriptures and obey the part we like, such an interpretation will not help us. We have to accept all the injunctions of the scriptures as they are given, not only those that suit us. If you do not follow the first order, thou shalt not kill, then where is the question of love of God? Of course, that's also mentioned in Sanskrit, Shruti Smriti Puranadi, Pancharatraki Vihim Vina Kantiki Harir Bhakti Upataka Yavakopate, which Prabhupada is very fond of quoting. It says that one who does religion or devotional service or dharma, and he doesn't follow the rules and regulations according to Shruti and Smriti, you know, the Vedic literatures and the supplementary Vedic literatures and the Puranas, then he's simply a disturbance to society. That's the translation of that verse. Here's another one. The Srimad Bhagavatam states, this is Prabhupada, that any bona fide preacher of God consciousness must have the qualities of titiksha tolerance and karuna, compassion. In the character of Lord Jesus Christ, we find both these qualities. He was so tolerant that even while he was being crucified, he didn't condemn anyone. And he was so compassionate that he prayed to God to forgive the very persons who were trying to kill him. Of course, they could not actually kill him, Prabhupada said, but they were thinking that he could be killed, so they were committing a great offense. As Christ was being crucified, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. A Vaishnava is unhappy to see the suffering of others. Therefore, Lord Jesus Christ agreed to be crucified to free others from their suffering. And here's another one. Reporter asked Prabhupada, what about a Christian priest? And here's Prabhupada speaking in a completely non-sectarian way, you know, paramarthika way. Christian, Mohammedan, Hindu, it doesn't matter. If he is simply speaking on behalf of God, he is the guru. Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, he canvassed people saying, just try to love God. Anyone, it doesn't matter who, be Hindu, Muslim, or Christian, is a guru if he convinces people to love God. That is the test. The guru never says, I am God, or I will make you God. The real guru says, I am a servant of God, and I will make you a servant of God also. It doesn't matter how the guru is dressed, Krishna West. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whoever can impart knowledge about Krishna is a spiritual master. A genuine spiritual master simply tries to get people to become devotees of Krishna or God. He has no other business. In other words, there's a need for different types of cultural manifestations, of Vyavaharika manifestations of religion, so that people feel comfortable in their own culture of accepting that particular religion. But the religion should always be preaching paramarthika understanding, which means Sanatana Dharma, basically. So, and that's it. You have about 10 seconds left for class. Yeah.
Yes, this
is
yeah.
I don't find any description of that, that he had some sort of spurti of the spiritual realm, but exactly what it was, what he saw, maybe it's there in some of the literatures, but anyway, Jiva Goswami enabled him to have that spurti or the manifestation. Unfortunately, I haven't had any spurti, so.